September 17th, 2023, so a little over 2 years ago. We've been in Deuteronomy. And just as a reminder, I do this periodically, this is the basic structure of Deuteronomy. It has four main parts. The bulk of it is three messages from Moses to the people of Israel as they prepare to enter the promised land. Daniel Block calls those sermons, these three sermons by Pastor Moses. So he is preparing the people of Israel for how to live long in the land, and he's encouraging them all along to be faithful to the Lord and to the Lord's covenant, which is, those are the things that are key to remaining in the land and key to living a happy life, a fulfilled and blessed life, much like today. The word of the Lord is the key. It's the only thing that really brings happiness. Everything else leads to misery. So we're in the very last part of this book, the Moses' Song and Death, which is chapter 31 to 34. We're in chapter 34, so we're really in the last 12 verses of Deuteronomy today. One note, this is the only chapter that Moses doesn't speak in. So Deuteronomy 34 is much about Moses and how he spoke the Lord's word to them. So last week we were in Deuteronomy 32, which was Moses' final blessing, or 33, Moses' final blessing on the people before they entered the promised land. And the blessing had a really simple outline. There's an introduction. Then blessings on the tribes, and two tribes were singled out for longer blessings. We covered those in a little bit more detail, and then the conclusion. But we can really summarize Moses' blessing on the people with three quotes from the introduction and conclusion, if you remember. There is no God, there is none like God, O Jeshurun. That's the poetic name for Israel, that means the righteous one. Yes, he loved his people. So there's none like God. Yes, he loved his people. And so, how happy are you? How blessed are you, O Israel? Who is like you? Nobody. Nobody had the favor of God like Israel do. And that's the source of their blessing. That's the source of their happiness. And really, same with us, right? There's none like our God, and he loves his people. And so how happy are we? That should be our life story. So today, we're in the death of Moses. ESV, that's what ESV titles it, the death of Moses. It's a good title because that's what chapter 34 is about, so I'll just stick with that. And we have been dealing with the imminent death of Moses since chapter 31. So for a little while here, since I think it's the second verse of Deuteronomy 31 that says this: I'm 120 years old today, no longer able to go out and come in. The Lord has said to me, you shall not go over this Jordan. So tonight we're going to come to the death of Moses, the record of his death. And like we do most weeks, we'll just start by reading through the passage that we're going to cover, and then we'll break it into shorter sections and cover it in a little bit more detail. So if you would, open your Bibles to Deuteronomy 34, and we'll start in verse 1. Then Moses went up from the plains of Moab to Mount Nebo, to the top of Pisgah, which is opposite Jericho. And the Lord showed him all the land, Gilead as far as Dan, all Naphtali, the land of Ephraim and Manasseh, all the land of Judah as far as the western sea, the Negev and the plain, that is, the valley of Jericho, the city of palm trees, as far as Zoar. And the Lord said to him, "This is the land which I swore to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. I will give it to your offspring. I have let you see it with your eyes, but you shall not go over there." So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. And he buried him in the valley in the land of Moab, opposite Beth Peor. But no one knows the place of his burial to this day. Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eye was undimmed and his vigor unabated. And the people of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days. Then the days of weeping and mourning for Moses were ended. And Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands on him. So the people of Israel obeyed him and did as the Lord had commanded Moses. And there has not arisen a prophet since in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. None like him, for all the signs and the wonders that the Lord sent him to do in the land of Egypt, to Pharaoh and to all his servants, and to all his land, and for all the mighty power and all the great deeds of terror that Moses did in the sight of Israel. So we're going to break this into three parts, and here's what the three parts are. Moses dies at the command of the Lord. That's a little bit over half of this chapter. Then the people's response to the death of Moses, and then the eulogy for Moses. It's a little hard to break this chapter into sections, and commentators break it different ways. I'm just going to use these three sections, and we're going to start with the first one, of course. Moses dies at the command of the Lord. That sounds kind of like a strange statement. Moses dies at the command of the Lord, but it really comes straight from the text. I mentioned last week that Deuteronomy 34 begins where Deuteronomy 32 ends. We're going to see that. But this text, or this statement, Moses dies at the command of the Lord, comes from verse 5. So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. So that last clause, according to the word of the Lord, in very literally you would say, according to the mouth of the Lord, which is often translated according to the command of the Lord. So upon the command of the Lord, Moses died. So Moses dies upon the command of the Lord. But the command, there's more to the command than just this verse. 2 weeks ago, we studied this. This is from Deuteronomy 32. And this is the outline that we used. That very day, the Lord spoke to Moses, "Go up this mountain of the Avarim, Mount Nebo, which is in the land of Moab, opposite Jericho, and view the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the people of Israel for a possession." So go up on this mountain and view the land, or go up on this mountain and see the land. Either would be okay. New American Standard. Go up on the mountain and look at the land of Canaan. Go up on this mountain, view the land, and die on the mountain. Three parts of the command. Go up on the mountain, view the land, and die on the mountain. Those three things the Lord commanded. So you can see as I read through this, "and die on the mountain which you go up, and be gathered to your people." That's also a command, but that goes along with dying. So go up on this mountain, view the land, look at the land, see the land, and die on the mountain. So let's go back to Deuteronomy 34, verse 1. Then Moses went up from the plains of Moab to Mount Nebo. So go up this mountain. That's what he does. The Lord commanded him, go up the mountain, view the land, die on the mountain. So Moses went up. So throughout Deuteronomy, Moses has been urging the people, really kind of even begging the people with things like this. Pay close attention to yourself, lest you forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments. And so we should expect that when the Lord commands Moses to go up on the mountain, view the land, and die on the mountain, Moses will do that. We should expect that he will do that. And as we read our Bibles, we should be noticing things like that. Noticing things, examples like that, where the Lord commands it and faithful servants, his faithful servants, just do it. Just do what he says. We should notice them, and not only notice them, we should live by them. Here's another example. This is the pattern of Abraham's life, basically. This is from Genesis 22. After these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, here I am. And he said, take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him up there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains which I shall tell you. Well, that would give you pause, wouldn't it? I've had people tell me, I just don't think I could, there's no way I could do that. Here's Abraham. So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him and his son Isaac, and he cut wood for the burnt offering, and he arose and he went to the place which God had told him. From the New Testament, we can notice things like this. Matthew 4, starting in verse 18. While walking by the Sea of Galilee, he, that is Jesus, saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Immediately, they left their nets and followed him. God commands it. They do it. Years ago, I don't know how long ago now, long time ago, bumper stickers. When there were such a thing as bumper stickers, there was this one that I remember from when I was a kid. God said it, I believe it, and that settles it for me. I think there was even a song that had those words in it. A better test of whether we believe God would be, God commanded it, I trust him, so I did it. That's the pattern we're talking about from the Old Testament. It's not quite as catchy. I don't think we'll see it on bumper stickers. Not a popular idea. God commanded it, so I obeyed. Right? Then Moses went up from the plains of Moab to Mount Nebo, and the Lord showed him all the land. Moses went up, just as the Lord commanded, and the Lord showed him all the land. All that's left is for Moses to die on the mountain, to have that command done. But let's notice two things about this statement. One, the Lord's command to Moses in chapter 32 was, and view the land of Canaan, and see the land of Canaan, or look at the land of Canaan. Moses, you go up this mountain, and you look at that land. But here it says, and the Lord showed him all the land. So even as Moses is about to die without entering the promised land because of what he had done, the Lord wouldn't let him enter because of what he had done. The Lord's with him there. He doesn't leave Moses to die alone. He doesn't die outside the Lord's comfort and kindness, and he doesn't die outside his graciousness and his mercy, and he doesn't die without the Lord fulfilling his promise to him. The Lord promised him that even though he couldn't enter the land, he was going to be able to see it. So the second thing to notice is this. The command from the Lord was, and view the land of Canaan, or see the land of Canaan. Moses, go up there, see it, look at it. Here it says, the Lord showed him all the land. And it says, the Lord showed him all the land. Israel seems like a tiny place to us on a map, and it is. It's hardly noticeable on a world map. It's about the size of New Jersey. So it's actually pretty big to look at from a mountain. You can see a lot of Israel from where Moses would have been standing or where he was standing. But he couldn't see all of it. He cannot see everything that's in this description. Gilead, as far as Dan, all Naphtali, the land of Ephraim and Manasseh, all the land of Judah, as far as the western sea, the Negev and the plain, that is, the valley of Jericho, the city of palm trees, as far as Zoar. You can see some of that, but you can't see all of it. So commentators discuss this. They discuss this. They write about this, what it might actually mean. Some even suggest that, well, maybe the Lord allowed Moses to see something that wasn't humanly possible to see. I don't think that should be a suggestion. I think that should be an assertion. The Lord showed Moses more than was humanly possible for him to see from where he was. The Lord showed him all the land. The Lord showed him all the land. The Lord showed him, that's a perfectly good translation of the Hebrew there. But let me put it to you a little bit more literally even than that. The Lord caused him to see all the land. The Lord clearly showed Moses more than his human eyes could have seen. Why else would he command this? Why else would he command? See the land. Go see it. And then here followed up with the Lord caused him to see it. Followed by a detailed description of what the Lord had shown him. Why else would that description be followed with this? This is the land which I swore to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, that I will give it to your offspring. He told Abraham to walk around the whole land. And why would you follow it up with this? I have let you see it with your eyes. Or again, more literally, I have caused you to see it with your eyes. So over the last 40 years, the Lord had seen Moses had seen the Lord do many supernatural things, many things that were not humanly possible. The Lord had performed many signs and wonders right in front of Moses, through Moses, you might say. So why would we expect this to be anything different from that? Moses went up as the Lord commanded him. The Lord showed him, or caused him to see the land, All that's left for Moses to do now is to die on the mountain. So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. And he buried him in the valley in the land of Moab, opposite Beth Peor. But no one knows the place of his burial to this day. So he buried him. That's the Lord buried him. The Lord buried him in a place where nobody would find him. Lots of speculation about that. Why that is, doesn't matter. The Lord buried him there because the Lord wanted him buried there. The Lord was with him. And Moses was 120 years old when he died. That's the ideal lifespan. The ideal biblical lifespan is 120 years old. Moses lived about 40 years in Egypt. He lived about 40 years shepherding in the wilderness, and he lived about 40 years shepherding the people of Israel. Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eye was undimmed, and his vigor was unabated. So his eye was not dimmed. T. Gay says this is just pointing out. These things are just pointing out that Moses was relatively healthy. He wasn't feeble. As we just see, he climbed up the mountain. Right? He went up the mountain. His vigor unabated. Again, I'm going to do something more literally here. His moisture had not fled. This is how it gets translated into ESV. His vigor unabated. Again, T.G.A., the Jewish scholar, says, what this means is his skin. The moisture didn't leave his skin. He didn't look wrinkled. He looked younger. We all see people who just don't look their age, right? Not to this extent, probably. But despite the years, he's actually quoting a guy named Ibn Ezra, another Jewish scholar from years ago. But despite his years, he did not look aged. He didn't look old. So the Lord preserved him that way. Second, the people's response to the death of Moses. And the people of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab for 30 days. Then the days of weeping and mourning for Moses were ended. So that seems like a long time for mourning, but really that's just the normal time that you would mourn for someone who died. That's the normal mourning period. It's actually a little bit remarkable that more isn't said about this. Doesn't say how distraught they were or anything like that, especially since Moses had led them for 40 years and most of them had never known any other leader. But it just says, then the days of weeping and mourning for Moses were ended. They basically did what they would have done for anyone else. Any family member, this is how they would have done it. But a lot is said in the next verse. And Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands on him. So, Moses had already been commissioned as the new leader of Israel. So, in chapter 31 of Deuteronomy, I'm going to read just a few verses here. This is starting in Deuteronomy 31:7. Then the Lord summoned Joshua and said to him in the sight of all Israel, be strong and courageous, for you shall go with this people into the land that the Lord has sworn to their fathers to give them, and you shall put them in possession of it. You'll cause them to possess it. It is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed. He already knew that Moses was going to die. A few verses later, verse 14. And the Lord said to Moses, "Behold, the days are approach when you must die. Call Joshua and present yourselves in the tent of meeting, and I may commission him." And Moses and Joshua went and presented themselves in the tent of meeting, and the Lord appeared in the tent in a pillar of cloud, and the pillar of cloud stood over the entrance of the tent. Clearly passing this leadership role over to Joshua with the same kind of symbolism that there was with Moses. The Lord comes and stands in a cloud at the tent of meeting. Now he does it with Joshua there too. So that's what's going on. Joshua was full of the spirit of wisdom. So this isn't the kind of wisdom that you earn in your lifetime. This is the kind of wisdom that's a gift from God. You don't get this wisdom by your own effort. It's a gift from God, and it's the gift that Moses had. Notice what it says here. Moses had laid his hands on him, indicating that this gift is passing. It doesn't mean Moses loses his wisdom. It means this gift is passing from Moses to Joshua. It's somewhat like, not exactly like, because he doesn't put his hands on him, in 2 Kings chapter 2, when Elijah and Elisha are there, and they know that Elijah is about to leave this earth, and Elisha asks, "Grant me this thing, give me a double portion of your spirit." And Elijah says something like, "Well, that's a hard thing to do, but it'll happen when you see me leave." So Joshua, though, is not completely like Moses. No leader, no one leader is like another one completely. God gives different people different gifts, different abilities. But notice that God gives here to Joshua the essential thing, the spirit of wisdom, the one that Moses had. Moses' gift of wisdom is rare. If you study through Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, you become aware how wise Moses was, how the Lord had given him that gift. It's an essential gift for leaders, and some have more and some have less and some have a lot less. But in this case, the Lord is leaving this people as they go into the promised land, going really into conquest. They're going to go and take the promised land with a leader who is able to do that and who is wise. So he provides a new leader for a new time, a new stage in Israel's life, the conquest of Canaan. And this is the people's most important response to the death of Moses. So the people of Israel obeyed him and did as the Lord had commanded Moses. So the people of Israel obeyed Joshua and did as the Lord had commanded Moses. And from this verse flows right into Joshua chapter 1. And so we're not going to go there now, but there is a little bit left here in Deuteronomy, the last three verses. The eulogy for Moses. So eulogy means good word. So the good word about Moses. And we typically have eulogies at funerals. But it was the Lord that buried Moses. And this eulogy wasn't given in the 30 days of mourning. It's clearly from a later time because it starts off this way. And there has not arisen a prophet since in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. So some time has passed here, enough time to say, no, it's not happened again. There's supposed to be another prophet, but there hasn't been one. So I'm going to skip over this clause for now, and then we're going to come back to it at the very end. I'll point to this, though. Whom the Lord knew face to face. So Tige, who I mentioned earlier, says this means in person, directly, without mediation. That seems a little cold to me. It seems that it was more than that. The relationship that God had with Moses. Exodus 33:11 says this. Thus the Lord used to speak to Moses face to face, as a man speaks with his friend. Numbers 12:8 says this. And with him I speak mouth to mouth, clearly and not in riddles. And he beholds, or he looks at, the form of the Lord. I speak with him mouth to mouth, clearly and not in riddles. And he beholds the form of the Lord. So, and Moses had interceded for the people. He could pray to the Lord. He did pray to the Lord often for the people, and the Lord would listen to him, and often he would grant Moses special requests. Moses had a different kind of relationship with God than anybody else. With him I speak mouth to mouth, clearly and not in riddles, and he beholds the form of the Lord. None like him. For all the signs and the wonders that the Lord sent him to do in the land of Egypt, to Pharaoh and to all his servants and to all the land. So the Lord continually reminds the people of Israel not to forget about what he did. That he brought them out of Egypt, and that he brought them out with a strong hand and an outstretched arm. So he reminds them to do that. So let's not forget about the plagues that he inflicted on Egypt. Some of them, for sure, because it tells us, not on Israel, though, even though they were in Egypt. Just the Egyptians. They plundered the Egyptians. They willingly gave up their silver and gold and garments and everything to give them to the people of Israel. The parting of the Red Sea, the drowning of the army of Pharaoh in the Red Sea. The Lord sent Moses to do those things, it says, to do those things in the land, and he did them, and more. And for all the mighty power and all the great deeds of terror that Moses did in the sight of Israel, beyond Egypt, like the defeat of Amalek, and the defeat of Og, and the defeat of Sihon, the Lord did those things through Moses. This text says, all the great deeds of terror that Moses did in the sight of all Israel. Bringing water out of rocks. As you read through the eulogy, there's one thing that you might expect to see that's not in here. And most of us know about it. It's from Numbers 12:3. It says this. Now the man Moses was very humble, more than any man who was on the face of the earth. So by the way, that quote comes That quote comes from the passage that Aaron and Miriam, Moses' brother and sister, challenged Moses and said this. It's the verse before. Has the Lord indeed spoken only through me, Moses? Has he not spoken through us also? And then it says this little cute line. And the Lord heard it. The Lord went on to make clear that there is no prophet like Moses. Moses was very humble, more than anyone on the face of the earth. Daniel Block notes this, that Moses always attributes these signs and wonders and mighty deeds to the Lord. Always. He doesn't take credit for them. No, Moses saw things more clearly. He used to speak with the Lord face to face, like a friend. Moses knew that it was the Lord who parted the Red Sea. And all he did was hold up a stick. If we could see things that clearly. It's the Lord who's working wonders. The best we can do is hold up a stick. That's the best we can do. The Lord is doing the work. Maybe then we would be more humble, or to say it in English, humbler. Let's go back to verse 10. I said I'd come back to. And there has not arisen a prophet since in Israel like Moses. This is clearly referring to Deuteronomy 18. I'm just going to start in verse 15. We had this half Deuteronomy ago. So, Deuteronomy 18, I'll start in verse 15. It says this. This is the Lord speaking to Moses, or this is Moses speaking to the people. The Lord your God will raise up a prophet like me from among you, from your brothers. It is to him you shall listen, just as you desired of the Lord your God at Horeb on the day of the assembly when you said, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God or see this great fire any more, lest I die. And the Lord said to me, they are right in what they have spoken. I will raise up a prophet for them, a prophet like you from among their brothers. And I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him, and whoever will not listen to my words that I shall speak in my name, I myself will require it of him. But the prophet who presumes to speak a word in my name that I have not commanded to him to speak, or who speaks in the name of other gods, that same prophet shall die. So most Christian scholars would say that this promised prophet that never came until he did come, that it was Jesus. Though that view isn't completely unanimous. Daniel Block, for example, says that the role of this prophet was fulfilled by John the Baptist. Because, like Moses introduced the people to the Lord, John the Baptist introduced us to Jesus the incarnate Lord. Block's argument makes sense, and I think scripture supports Jesus as being the prophet like Moses. And since we don't have time to go into lots and lots of texts, but since we're studying Hebrews, you'll soon hear something like this. This isn't a quote. Jesus is better than Moses. Just see if these verses is a small sample of the argument for Jesus is the prophet like Moses, who we must listen to, or else. Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets, but in these last days he has spoken to us by his sons, by his son. And the passage from this morning, therefore, we must pay much closer attention, which, by the way, pay close attention is, that's the word that is in Hebrews, and it's the Greek translation that's in when Moses tells them, pay close attention. Therefore, we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away from it. For since the message declared by angels proved to be reliable, and every transgression or disobedience received a just retribution, how shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? So we'll just close this with the passage that we had this morning. We started off with this, with call to worship this morning. As we wrap up Deuteronomy, we'll close with this. Only pay close attention to yourself and guard your soul carefully, lest you forget the things your eyes have seen, and lest they turn aside from your mind all the days of your life. But teach them to your children and to your grandchildren. I'll close in prayer, and then we'll ask Hete and Agi and Chuka to come up. Lord, thank you for this word to us from your servant Moses. Through your servant Moses, Lord, we pray that we would live by these words and by the words that Jesus explained to us that you had told him. Thank you, Father. We praise you tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, come on up. We're going to take a moment. It won't take too long to change screens. We already know this will work pretty well.
Thank you so much, Pastor Don, and thank you for E-Free Church. I just want to give you a little bit introduction of myself. My name is Mungun Hit Jargal Sehang, and I was born and raised in Mongolia. And when I was 15 years old, I watched Jesus film in the street and came to Christ. I decided in that spot that I want to follow this God I never heard in my entire life before. But the one thing that really, really grasped my heart after I came to Christ and joined other Christians was there are other Christians in the world. And we are one family. And from that moment on, I was always in awe of how great God's kingdom is. And God's kingdom is not just where we only live, because it's everywhere. And it's not in only America or only in Mongolia. It's everywhere. And that idea itself always gave me strength to continue following Jesus. That just as simple as it sounds, but it's actually true. When I was a kid, when I followed in Jesus, I said, since there's so many people believing and obeying Jesus, this Jesus thing has to be true. So that was like sometimes whenever I feel, you know, like my faith was weak, that word actually gave me so much strength. So I know it's very important, but today, you know, I really want to encourage you. As our brothers from Mongolia come up here and share their testimonies, as they tell you and show you videos what it's like in Mongolia, that is the part of Christ's kingdom. And that kingdom is as alive as everywhere else. The same spirit is keeping that kingdom alive, that part in that part of the world. And I want to really bless you. Today, I'm not here to ask for money, but I'm here to encourage you. We see things fall. It seems like sometimes everything is falling apart. But guess what? God's kingdom is still actively spreading all of the kingdom, all of the world. So I want to invite Agi and Choka here. Can you come over here? And we want to show you a video first. It's a 6 minutes video. You know, it will show you what they do and where they do it and how they preach the gospel and how they travel and everything. So does it have subtitles? Yeah, it does subtitles. I'm not sure how big the text is going to be, but I'm 100% sure you will feel, you know, what it's going to be like.
Yeah. Бурхан талархаас гадна би нэг зүйлийг та нарт дахин хэлмээр байна. Энд байгаа ахан дүүс та нарт мөнхийн эзэн бурхан маш их хайртай шүү. Тэ мэ? Мөнхийн эзэн бурхан маш их хайртай.
Таны хайр л байхад бидэнд болно гэжээ. Тэгээд ахын минь, эгчийн минь үгээр сүлдэн ядарсан махбодийн сэргээ босгоод ясанд нь хүч, цусанд нь хүч.
Амен.
Тинхээ өгөөрэй гэж гуйж ийнэ. Яа маргаашийн бидний аял хаяж дээр эзэн минь та хамт байгаарай.
Эхэцэн минь ээ, танд бид үнэхээр хүчин гүйлэн бууж байна. Та хэн нэгэн өвчтэй байвал тэр хүн дээр гар тавин залбир гэсэн. Тэгээд өөрөө тэр хүний нүглий гэдгээс хүлтээр нь босгоно гэж хэлсэн. Таны гайхамшигтай амлалтыг өрөн бид танаас эдгэрлийг гуйн залбирч байна.
Харин нэршлийн магаа бурхан эцэн энэ сайхан өглөөг бидний зөвшөөрсний төлөө талархаж эцэн. Таны энэ сайхан үгийг бас алс болосорч болсон нахт өндөртэй бас баярлаа. Бас бидний ингэж уулзч учруулсны төлөө эзэн минь танд талархаж байна эзэн. Бас өнөөдөр бидний эзэн таны хаанчлалын төлөө хийх уулзч учрах мөсийг та бас өрөөж учруулж өгөөрэй эзэн. Тэгээ бидний аян замыг та бас өрөөж өгөөрэй эзэн. Тэнд байх хугацаанд та энэ зүрийн бодлоо дайлтаа сангаарж өгөрөө. Бас уулзч учрах мөсийг та бас нээр амар тайван дотор өрөөж өгөрөх юм танаас гүйж байна.
So this trip was done by two of our step-by-step members. And we were originally planning to bring four members of step-by-step to States and meet you and greet you today. But unfortunately, American Embassy only gave visas for two of us. So we have two step-by-step members here today. I just want to point one important point here. That is... E-Free Church through Iman Foundations being involved in this particular ministry for many years, but I think it's very crucial that the E-Free Church members, our brothers and sisters in Christ, personally know them and hear their story from them will actually do a very blessed ministry towards to you back. So we are here to bless you today. And I just invited Choka over here to share his testimony and how he heard about Jesus and what he did, what Jesus did in his life and how Jesus changed him.
За та бүхэнд оройн мэнд төргий.
Good evening everyone.
Бурхан бол сайн.
God is good.
Би Бурханд хайрлагдсан хүүхэд нь байна.
I am one of the Jesus' followers who's been loved by God.
Би Дорнот аймагт төрсэн.
I lived in the eastern part of Mongolia called Dornot.
Тэгээ хүүхэд байхдаа Дорнот аймагт төсөөд тэгээ цэрэгт яваад тэгээ цэргээс ирээд цагдаагийн байгууллагт ажилласан байгаа.
After I finished my military service, I joined police force in my region.
Тухайн цаг үед дөнгөж арчил гарч иржсэн.
And it was the time that communism fell and Mongolia turned into a democratic country.
Тэр үед нөгөө Есүс Есүсийн сайн мэдээг тараадаг хүмүүс Монголд очиод Есүс кино гаргадаг сайн мэдээний төхөмлүүдийг ингээ тараадаг байсан.
During that time many Christian people came to Mongolia and they distributed Bibles and they showed many Christian movies around the country.
Нийгмийн аюул бас хамгаалах яамны сайдын тушаал ирээд тэгээд гадны шашны хүмүүс ирээд Монголд одоо ингээд шашин сурчилж байна. Монгол улсын одоо тусгаар тогтнол аюулгүй байдалд занд хийлж байна. Ийм хүмүүсийг одоо барьж авцгаарэ гэд. Тэгээд бид нар явж тэр хүмүүсийг одоо кино гаргаж байгаа, сайн мэдээ тарааж байгаа хүмүүсийг барьж авцгаардаг байсан.
And one time our minister that was in charge of police force in our region, it's actually equivalent of Mongolian KGB, you know, in Mongolia. And our minister gave us order to go around and catch the people who's going around the country and showing Jesus films and distributing Bibles and spreading this foreign religion. For me back then, those people, I thought it was enemy of our country. They were here to make our country foreign. But while I was doing catching Christians around the, that region, my wife went to a capital city of Mongolia for training for her professional work. But when she came back, she became Christian. And she shared about Jesus to me, and it made me very mad.
Чи эцэг өвгдөөсөө уламжилж ирсэн одоо овоо бол орон дэлхийг хайр дэ шүтэж чадахгүй байж юун харин шашин юун гадны шашин шүтдэг юм бэ гэдэг нь уурсан.
I yelled at her and screamed at her and said you are not worshiping your ancestral worship, you're not respecting your mountains and then trees, you're not respecting your ancestors' spirits, and why are you talking about this foreign religion to me?
Тэгэд энэс болоод манай их нэр өтер өргөлч одоо хоорондоо маргааны сэтг манай Есүс болж хувирсан.
And Jesus became our reason of conflict and arguments all the time.
Тэгэ тухайн үед нэгэн одоо тэр нартай шинэ гэрээ одоо гарцсан манад байсан.
And my wife had a Bible and that Bible had very thin pages.
Тухайн цаг үед би юу гэж ойлгосон бэ гэвэл энэ номноос болоод манай эхнэр бүтэрийн харилцаа айгүй муудаад байна гэд нөгөө номыг нь аваад би ингээд цаасан айгүй гоё нингэн уураад ингээд тамхи хорооч татдаг байсан.
And for me that Bible was causing all the conflict between my wife and me. So I started tearing that Bible off and started rolling cigarettes for myself.
Тэр бүр тэр байтугай бүр нойлын цаасны оронд үртэл ингээд хэргэлж ирсэн.
And sometimes I even use it instead of toilet paper.
Тэгэд манай доотлын айл маань христ итгэж залуу байсан билээ сүлд нь мэдсэн. Тэгээд тэд нар ингээд гитар тоглоод магтаал нэгж хат нь би уурлаад ороод нөгөө хүмүүсийг хөөж тараад.
My downstairs neighbor was Christian young people and they used to sing they used to play guitars and sing worship songs. That made me very mad. So I used to go down and always fuss at them.
Миний хувьд Есүс бол миний амьдрал өөрчлөлт авсан хамгийн сайн бурхан гэж би итгэдэг.
But today I want to proclaim Jesus is the God who changed my life and was the best and kindest to me.
Манай эхнэр Дорнтой амигт байдаг итгэлийн ахын дүүстэй хамт олон жилийн туршид миний төлөө залбирсан.
My wife prayed for me for many years with the other Christian brothers and sisters in her church.
Тэгээ сүүлдээ манай эхнэр бүр аргаа ядаад намайг орхиод Улаанбаатар хот руу явсан.
And it was very hard for her to take my attitude, so she actually left me alone and moved to a capital city.
Тэгэд би эхнэр маа надаас яваад нэг жил хэртэ болох хугацаанд би маш их архинд орсон, ажилласаа халагдсан юм байсан.
And during 1 year of living alone, I drank a lot, and I even got fired from my work.
Тэгээ энэ үед нэг гайхамшигтай зүйл болсон. Би нэг орой аавнтай ирээд унтах гээд ирсэн чинь нэг зуны нэг орой маш бүхчим халуун амьсгалтлахад хүртэл хэцүү байсан. Тэр орой би Боскон дээр гараад тамхитдах гээд гарсан. Тэгээ гарсан чинь өөдөөс ингээд нэг гой ингээд сэвэлдсэн салхигтэн над руу ингээд үлээгээд би нөгөө эхнэр хүүхдээ сандгүй байсан хүн чинь эхнэр хүүхдээ маш их санаад үгүйлээд тэгээд удалгүй хэд хоногийн дараа би Улаанбаатар хот руу эхнэр хүүхдээхээ араас ирсэн байгаа.
And during that time, one night I was spending night with my father's house and it was very, very hot. So I decided to get up at night to go outside and smoke a cigarette. But when I went outside, it was I felt this cool breeze. And then somehow that made me so emotional and I missed my wife and my children so much. So I decided to go after them and I went to capital city.
Тэгээ Улаанбаатар хотод ирээд эхнэрээ хайж явж гад. Тэгээ нэг цуглаан дээр манай эхнэр манаач ичсэн.
And I found my wife in one church. She was living in church building and doing a watchman in that church.
Тэгээ эхнэрээсээ уучлалт гуйгаад хүүхдүүдээ бодъё, амьдралаа бодъё, чи намайг уучлаарай гэдэргээд уучлалт гуйсан.
And I asked for forgiveness. I asked my wife to forgive me. I asked my children to forgive me.
Гэсэн хэдий ч манай эхнэр тухайн үед намайг уучлаагүй. Цуглааны ахлагч, удирдагч, пасторуд манай эхнэрийг ятгсан, бас надад эр хүн ямар байх ёстойг заасургасан.
And then even though my wife didn't forgive me right away, her church pastors and her church friends came to me and helped me to understand what real man and a husband supposed to be like.
Тэгээд эхнэр маа намайг уучлаад манай гэрүүл бүрэн бүтэн болоод өнөөдрийг болтоор бид эзэн дотор итгэлийн амьдралаар 20 гаруй жил 24 5 жил ингээд амьдарч байна.
And after a while my wife decided to forgive me and I accepted Jesus Christ and my wife my life and became Jesus's life and me and my wife are following Jesus 25 years now.
Есүсийг эсэргүүцдэг, Бурхны үгийг урд тасдаг ийм муу хүнийг Бурхан өөрийнхөө алдрын төлөө, өөрийнхөө хаанчлалын төлөө өнөөдрийг болтер ингэж хэрэглэж байгаа би баяртай байна. Би одоо алхамд 17 жил 6 сар үйлчилж байна.
I joined step by step 17 and a half years ago and it's always make me feel emotional and makes me feel gratitude towards how God accepted this person who hated him, who hated his word, who hated the Bible. Now how I become his disciple and go around and preach his words and making disciples now.
Тэ та бүхний өмнө ийм агу хайрын Бурхны гэрчилж байгаадаа маш их баяртай байна. Бурхан та бүхэд бас хайртай шүү.
So I want to tell you through my testimony that God also loves you as well.
Баярлалаа.
Thank you so much. So just for briefly, I asked Agi to come up and help us to see how his ministry is doing and what he's planning in the future. Very brief. After I heard Chuka's testimony, I almost forgot what I was prepared to say. And we have our strategy and planning done for
2026 already.
I hope you guys had a little, you know, general picture of what is our ministry look like, where and who we minister to. For many thousand years, Mongolians live like, you know, they raise herds and they go out and hunt, and that's how they live. Unless someone go there and find them and greet them and reach out to them, they don't come to us, to big towns. Because of their livelihood is their livestock, they will never leave them, and you know, for even for temporary. So our mission for last 20 years was to go out and find those nomadic herdsmen and preach the gospel to them and show Jesus' love to them. And also, it's very difficult for nomadic herders to join any church or big communities because they live far away from each other. They go to the nearest settlements or villages maybe 3 times a year at most. Or, you know, usually they go just 1 time every year. So our priority, one of our priority in our ministry is to help them to develop personal relationship with God of their own. So what we do is one of the things we help him is to produce video manuals for small groups when during time they can use during the time of worship. We call it church in a box. And last couple of years, we have over 30,000 people use those Bible studies that be distributed. So basically what we do is we go out and we introduce ourselves to nomadic people, we share gospel to them, and then if they accept Jesus as their Savior, we give them this series of video Bible studies to them and say, next time when we come, you know, until then, you watch these one by one. The family that just showed, we showed on the video, the whole family was baptized 2 years ago. So basically, our goal for 2026 is we planning to reach out to over 11,000 nomadic people and share the gospel to them and pass on this newly produced by Church in the Box series to them so they can grow in Christ. In our team, we have 8 people. And every month, 2 by 2, we go out to countryside and travel. So whenever you guys remember us, please pray for our plans for 2026. Our prayer is that those people who live in remote areas where there's no road will have chance to hear Jesus' truth and receive the salvation through him and grow in faith in him. Thank you so much. Yeah, so if you guys have, do we have more time for a question answer? Okay. If you have questions, please feel free to answer.
What countries do they go to? Are they just Mongolia or do they go to other countries?
I want them to answer these questions. I had that also watched the way to whom Mongolia had to go to the world also watched.
Монгол үндэстэн маань яг одоо яг Монголынхаа газар нутгт дээр болохоор 3,500,000.
So we have 3,500,000 Mongolians living in the country of Mongolia.
Монголын хилээс гадна Хятадд бас Оросын нутгт бас Казахстан, Кыргызстанны нутгт байгаа бүх монголчуудыг нийлүүлэх юм бол одоо миний ярьж байгаа энэ монгол хэлээр ярьдаг 11 сая хүн байгаа.
But if you include all the Mongolian tribes and ethnic groups in Russia and China and Kazakhstan and Tajikistan, there are 11 million Mongolians who can understand each other and speak the same language.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the goals of our team is to go out to reach out to those Mongolian ethnic groups because we speak the same language. No, we don't need visa in China, Russia, and Kazakhstan. Just go, yeah, 90 days free, yeah, no visa needs necessary.
Хүмүүс нэг гэр бүл юуны видео хөтлөж үзсний дараа та нар эргээд хизээ уулздаг бай, яаж уулздаг бай, тэр хүмүүстэй яаж дагалдуулдаг бай.
Одоо бидний хувьд бас технологи одоо энэ нөгөө технологи интернетийн харилцаа Монголд маш их хөгж сайжирч байгаа.
Yeah, Mongolia is one of the most connected, technologically connected country, so we use technology a lot.
Тэгээд хөдөө орон нутгийнханд ба мэдээч хэрэг нөгөө цахилгааны одоо найдвартай юм их усэр байдаггүй учраас ихвчлэн батареагаар одоо нэг аккумулятораар ашигладаг. Цахилгааны их усэр.
So those nomadic families, they do have solar panels and batteries. They power their, you know, house and charge their phones.
Хязгаарлагдмал ч гэсэн.
It's a limited use, but there is a possibility for them.
Тэгээ бид нар 7 хоног болгоны 2-р өдөр тэр хүмүүстэйгээ нэгдсэн онлайн.
So every Tuesday morning, we have
weekly meeting, worship meeting online, connecting with our disciples all over the country.
Яг биер очих нь бол маш их хол, маш их олон газар байгаа учраас бид нар жилдээ нэг л удаа очиж
чадсан. So since it's very challenging to go there, travel there and reach out to them, we try to get there as many times as possible, but at least one time a year we go and visit and encourage our believers. Anyone else?
Марла одоо шинэ яг юуны төлөө голдог өсөгдөг вэ? Тэр ус ноосны төлөө юу? Тэнэс гадна малынхаа бүтээгдэхүүний махаа хаашаа голн зардаг, хол зардаг, ажил зардаг уу гинэ малчтай.
Одоо монголчууд хавар нэг мөнгөтэй болдог.
Одоо малчд намаа. The herdsmen got really rich in spring.
Хавар нөгөө ямааны ноолураа зараад.
The reason is they sell the cashmere of the goat every spring, and that's when they get, you know, cash. And then in fall, especially in November, they sell meat as well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Usually they carry it all the way to capital city, Ulaanbaatar, to sell it. Yeah, it travels far away. Yeah.
Have you ever met with
our hostility? Танара аялалд явж байхдаа ямар нэгэн хүмүүсийн халдганд өртдөг хүмүүс танарт те мууха ханддаг уу?
Яг Монголын газар нутгт бол тийм нэг яг амь насан занл хэлэх юм гарайгүй.
Yeah, right in Mongolian country, there's not much hazard towards our life or our body.
Гэхдээ одоо янз бүрийн байдлаар машины дугуй хавлах ч гэдэг юм, цонх хавлах, шил цонх хавлах, одоо кино үзүүлчихээ гараад ирэхэд машины дүрэн дугуй хагалсан баг ч юм, тиймэрхүү нэг юм хорлосон зүйл.
But since even though they don't come and, you know, attack us, they hurt us by slashing our tires while we showing Jesus films. They come and, you know, secretly slash our tires or break our windshields or windows, etc. Those kind of thing happens. Since they are predominantly Buddhist culture, they see Christianity as a threat. So they're not very comfortable towards us. I want to share one personal story about One time I get to know one guy and I share gospel to him, and we decide to walk out and go somewhere else together. But as we walking in the streets, he was either walking way in front of me or was just, you know, lagging behind me too far.
Тэгээд учрын сүлд нь олоход нөгөө нэг яг Христэд итгэж хүнтэй хамт явхаасаа одоо нутгийнхандаа харагдахгүй тулд.
And later on I learned that he was avoiding looking, walking with me as I am being Christian, so he didn't want his, you know, community to see him walking with me together. So they avoid those kind of things.
What kind of government is in Mongolia, and what does the government think of you?
Засаг төр энэ Монголд ямар засаг төр гэдэг вэ? Тэгээд бидний тухай юу гэж боддог вэ гинэ? Одоо та нарын тухай.
Яг Монголд одоо нэг сайн мэдээ тараагаад сүм чуулганы зөвшөөрөл авах хүндрэлтэй хэцүү.
It's very difficult to get permission to do religious work, especially Christian work, from government nowadays. And police and government agencies constantly come and check on churches and their activities.
Mm-hmm. нийгмөр рүү чиглэсэн тийм одоо асрамжийн газар ядуу хүмүүс тусалдаг тийм зүйлүүдийг.
So in Mongolia, most churches and religious organizations work under an umbrella ministry for you know, for community services, like they open little orphanage houses, or they work with, you know, underprivileged people, etc. So a lot of churches activities happen under that kind of umbrella ministries. Yeah. For us, for a step-by-step team, we open a safe house for single mothers and the children who's been through, who experienced the domestic violence, victims of, you know, poverty, and that's our umbrella. When government come and check on us, we show that as our main activity. So we don't have to talk to them about our Christian ministry too much.
Та нар юугаар хэрэг зэрэг хол явдаг вэ? Хідэн баг байдаг вэ? Бас юу юу унж явдаг вэ гэдэг.
Тэг. Бид нар нөгөө дандаа ирчүүд ухраас мотоцикл дуртай. Мотоциклаар аялдаг.
Since we all men in the step by step team, during the summer times, we like to ride our motorcycles.
Мотоциклаар Монголын хөдөө малчит ер нь дийлэнх нийтлэг хэрэглэн мотоцикл.
Yeah, motorcycles are very common use in amongst the herdsmen in Mongolia.
Тэгээд тэр мотоциклтэй очих нь нөгөө залуучуудтай нөгөө харилцаа холбогд харилцаа үүсгэхэд их бас байна.
So when we ride to the places with on motorcycles, they like to come out and talk about our motorcycles. Eventually leads us, opens the door for us to share gospel to them. Conversation.
Тэгээ одоо бид нар бас манай залуучууд маань бас жоохон хөксөрж байгаа учраас
энэ машин явах юм. But it's been over 20 almost 20 years. So we all getting a little bit older, so we prefer using our cars more now.
Yeah.
Агийн гэр бүлтэй юу?
За манай гэр бүл ингээд би 3
I have three children. My oldest daughter is 20 years old. And then I have 16-year-old daughter. And 7-year-old son. His oldest daughter is a chemical engineer and working for a company in Japan now.
Yeah.
And his second daughter is studying mechanical engineering in Mongolia. Okay. Yeah, so I guess we have enough questions and answers. I just want to welcome you guys, you know, after meeting, if you have time, you know, feel welcome to come and ask questions or just say hi. That will be okay. And thank you so much for spending time with us. And really, God bless you. I'm so proud. For me, it's a personal note. I am part of E-Free Church. And also, I know personally these people and Mongolian people and believers in Mongolia. So I always feel like I'm being pulled in two directions. And I am trying to, my desire is that I want E-Free Church to have personal connection with Mongolian believers, because I am personally part of yours as well. So thank you so much for coming. And, that was 4 years ago. Last time he came here, it was 4 years ago. Yeah, back in 2021. During that COVID times. Yeah. Okay, thank you so much again.